our almost 17-month-old daughter. We have thoroughly enjoyed being here. Y'all have really made us feel right at home. So thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all the handshakes and smiles. And we're excited to go to Brazil. The Lord's called both my wife and I to the country of Brazil. I remember telling the Lord, "Lord, I'll go anywhere in the world but to Brazil." And lo and behold, the Lord's called us to Brazil, and we can't wait to go. Tonight, I'm going to share our video. Take careful notes in your mind and think of questions you would like to ask. I really want this to be kind of open so you can ask us questions. I can ask you. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to ask you questions. But I want you to really get to know us. I want you to get to know our hearts and our burden for the people of Brazil. But I first want to show our video. After that, I'm going to come up and talk a little bit about Brazil and about what the Lord's called us to do. And then I have a little PowerPoint I like to show that would introduce you a little bit to the culture, the terrain, the people, and why we're going. So we're going to start out by the video, and then I'll come back up.
In 1968, my grandfather, Robert Doolittle, left his dairy farm in Wisconsin to follow the Lord's calling to be a missionary in Brazil. Grandpa began a pioneer mission work and faithfully labored in Brazil for over 40 years. The Lord blessed, and many churches were planted, and many souls were saved. One of the men who was saved and discipled through the ministry of my grandpa was Pastor Anselmo, who still is faithfully serving the Lord as a national pastor in Brazil. It was through the determined witnessing and preaching of the gospel by Pastor Anselmo that a young man, Antonio Duarte, was saved in 1976. That young man was my father, and several years later he would marry Robert Doolittle's oldest daughter, Lawanda. The Lord used my dad to plant 4 churches in Brazil, one of which currently he is pastoring. When I was 5 years old, my father preached a message on the reality of hell, and I realized that just because my dad was a pastor, that did not make me saved. That night, I trusted Christ as my Savior.
I was born in Kenya, East Africa, while my parents were serving as missionaries there. At the age of 4, I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I realized I was a sinner and that Jesus had paid the price for my sin by dying on the cross. During my high school years, I had no idea what the Lord wanted me to do in the future, but I was surrendered to do whatever He had planned. A few days after I turned 18, I fell 35 and a half feet from a deer stand. God not only chose to miraculously spare my life, but also restored me to near perfect health. He used that accident in my life, prayer, and Bible reading to clearly show me He wanted me to be a missionary overseas. 2 years later, I traveled to the Amazon region of Brazil and spent 6 months helping some veteran missionaries on the island of Urucurituba. The Lord used that time in the Amazon to open my eyes to the millions of lost souls in Brazil.
When I was 14, I surrendered my life to full-time Christian service at a youth camp in Brazil. But as I grew older, my focus was turned away from God toward soccer. My parents told me that before I followed my dreams, I had to go to a Bible college for 1 year. After attending one semester at Ambassador Baptist College, Evangelist Dwight Smith preached a message at my home church, and that night, I finally surrendered to do whatever the Lord wanted with my life. I knew that He had called me to preach the gospel. While at Ambassador, I met the love of my life, Gloria. The Lord led us together, and after we both graduated, we were married in April of 2016. God has now blessed us with a baby girl, Eliana. The Lord has called us back to Brazil. We are set out of Maranatha Baptist Church in Shelby, North Carolina, with Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions.
My name is Jim Davidson, and I'm the pastor of Maranatha Baptist Church in Shelby, North Carolina. It's my distinct pleasure to introduce to you Jed and Gloria Duarte, a young couple that has been faithfully serving the Lord in our local church and now have a great burden and passion to reach lost souls for Christ in Brazil. Jed grew up in Brazil, and Gloria spent time there before they were married as a single missionary woman. I had the distinct pleasure of accompanying them on their survey trip to the city where God has called them, Alta Floresta, a city that is filled to the brim with religion, but has no true gospel witness, no beacon of light or of hope. To see with what ease they were able to communicate and reach out to those that were there was a great source of encouragement to me. It's my hope that you will prayerfully consider partnering with them as they labor in Brazil to plant churches and to reach lost souls for Christ.
Most people don't realize that Brazil is about the same size as continental U.S. with over 210 million souls. Through the years, many missionaries have faithfully labored in the larger coastal cities. However, vast areas with hundreds of towns and cities have yet to be reached with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We plan on representing you in planting a church in the needy town of Alta Floresta. From there, we plan on branching out to the surrounding towns and cities with the long-term goal of planting a church in each of them and turning those churches over to a national pastor.
Some of the avenues we plan on using to reach out to the lost in Brazil will include vacation Bible schools, sports camps, youth rallies, and a radio ministry. Our heart's burden is particularly for the youth in Brazil. We want to teach them that they do not have to repeat the sin cycle of their parents and grandparents, but through the power of Christ can live a life victorious in Him. We are excited to see the power of the gospel transform lives in Brazil.
Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. These people in these towns, however, have not yet been reached. Therefore, we must go, lest they die in their sin and go to a Christless and hopeless eternity. During our survey trip in August of 2017, our eyes truly affected our heart as we saw the need for the gospel in Brazil. As we go to the heart of Brazil, would you pray that God would use us to reach the unreached?
That He would bring hope to the hopeless and light to the blinded eyes?
Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us to fulfill the Great Commission in the heart of Brazil?
A lot of times when talking to people, they're like, oh yeah, Brazil, you know, just country down south where they grow bananas and coffee, right? Yes, it is down south, and yes, we do grow bananas and coffee. But what a lot of people don't realize is the size of Brazil. Just think, you have the continental U.S. in a country the same size as continental U.S. There's still huge, huge, vast areas in Brazil, totally in reach with the gospel. Over 60%, I don't need this, I keep thinking I do. Can everybody hear me all right? Over 60% of the population of Brazil would live in interior cities of Brazil. So that's over half the population. So you know what that means? I could clearly say that almost half of the Brazilian population have yet to be reached with the gospel. I mentioned this morning, if you were to get in a vehicle and drive 1,800 miles east from the town in which we're going, I know of one missionary, that's my uncle, about 3 hours from us, that whole 1,800 mile span. What about all those towns? Lost. Hopeless. They're religious. Oh, I tell you, Brazil is a very religious country. As a matter of fact, if you were to get to our back table and you look at our money in Brazil, the Brazilian real, you would see it's written right there in the money, God be praised. If you walk up to a Brazilian in the street and start talking about spiritual things, they're like, oh yes, I know about God. I know about Jesus. But they're lost. They're blinded. Hopeless. They're religious. They're actually very devout to their false religion. But they're lost. Folks, it's my heart's desire to reach them. Just so you can have an idea what 210 million people would be like if you were to take all of the Central American countries, Mexico, Guatemala, Panama, just gave me a blank. You know, all the countries from Central America, not counting South America, and you were to combine them all together, Brazil still would have a larger population than that. There's a lot of people in Brazil. They need Christ. On top of that, we've been having a lot of immigrants come from, we got about 4 million from Venezuela. We got a couple of hundreds of thousands coming from other South American countries. We have the Muslims coming. And what they do is they get to Brazil, like they did to France and so forth, and they establish their family and they have a whole bunch of kids. And long-term goal, eventually they'll take that country over. Folks, Brazil needs Christ. I'm specifically burdened in taking the gospel where there has never been a missionary, where there is no gospel witness. And with that said, the Lord laid a burden for the town of Alta Floresta. I remember when the Lord started putting Alta Floresta in my heart, I was like, Lord, there's so many other towns in Brazil, bigger towns, smaller towns. Why Alta Floresta? Well, we have a strong desire to train nationals, but not stop there, but mentor them so that they can train the young people in their church. You see, when Paul commanded Timothy, he said, you know, the same commit thou to faithful men, which are able to teach others also. I don't want our ministry just to stop, and yes, we planted 5, 10, 20, 30 churches. I want those churches to plant other churches. Really, it's a matter of addition versus multiplication. And our heart's desire is to come alongside those young people, mentor them, train them, disciple them, and through them plant other churches. The young people in Brazil are so open. We plan on using Vacation Bible School as an outreach, youth outreaches to reach the young people. Sport camp, the town in which we're going, they actually really enjoy basketball. So our plan is to have young people from the States come down. Kind of like, it's like this. Usually here in the States, they're like, oh, you're from Brazil. You got to play soccer and you got to be good. Wrong. You know, the same is true in Brazil. Oh, you're American, so you must be related to Michael Jordan. So you might be really good at basketball. So we plan on using these avenues to reach out to the lost, to win them to Christ. They need the gospel, folks. I counted just in our state. It just breaks my heart as I look on the states. The town which we're going is in the state of Mato Grosso. It's actually on the northern part of the state. But just in Mato Grosso alone, I counted 140 towns with 5,000 people or more that are totally unreached. I would love to see a church in each one of them. If you look to our neighboring states, you'll see town after town after town unreached. Folks, we got to go. We have a responsibility. My wife and I, we have a responsibility to reach them. But so do you. Would you pray as we go? We covet your prayers. We need help. We need you to lift us up in prayer. I know one thing, that whenever the light of the gospel, and I shared this morning, when the light of the gospel starts shining in the dark places, there will be opposition. There will be persecution. There will be a struggle. But God's word is powerful. And it is my desire to see God's word transform those towns. I lost my train of thought. It just breaks my heart, folks, when we took our survey trip, as we drove through a town, another town, town after town unreached. Who's going to reach them? They need to be reached. One of my, sometimes I hate missions conference because of this. Every time I see missionaries going to other country, I'm like, Lord, if you would send me, I'd go. But Lord, you've called me to Brazil. I would love to go to close countries and share the gospel, but I can't. I'm only one person. But one of my heart's desire is to, as we train those young men and we train them to plant churches and we see those young men training people in their churches. As an American citizen, I can't go to Iran or I can't go to Iraq or I can't go to Saudi Arabia or I can't go to the Muslim closed countries because I'm an American. But as a Brazilian, oh, you're Brazilian. Oh, you're fun people. You like soccer, don't you? Yes, I do. Well, there's no opposition. They can go right into these closed countries. So a long-term plan, I'd love to somehow have a soccer coach school to where we can give them a degree to where they can work in the high school in Afghanistan or in Iran as a soccer coach. But they can share the gospel and take the gospel to these closed countries. Yes, a lot of dreams that we have. But folks, I'm convinced that sometimes we limit God. If you look in the Bible, Christ would marvel at people's belief, their faith, or their unbelief. And I want in our life, I want God to marvel in our belief, not in our unbelief. You see, because when we don't believe God, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God can still turn nations upside down with the gospel. Folks, right here in God's Word, we still have the power of God to change countries, to change life. Let's quit limiting God. We can't wait to get down there. Very unique culture. The area in which we're going, with that said, I'm going to try to bring my... technology is great when it works. I'm going to try connecting here. But I want to kind of give you a little bit brother, I think I might need your help. Oh, there it is. Little bit of the culture of the terrain. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I hear about somebody going somewhere, I wonder what it's like. There we go. It worked. As I mentioned, the size of Brazil, we will be going right in the middle of South America. So if you put your finger right in the middle of Brazil, of South America, that's the area in which we're focusing and taking the gospel. Since 2005, Brazil's been going through a bit of political turmoil. The last two presidents that were in power were socialist presidents, and were really, really trying to take the country that way. Needless to say, one of the presidents is in jail, while the other one got impeached. It was by the mercy of God that this year they've elected an extremely conservative president in Brazil, which as a result, that's really making it even easier to reach the Brazilians with the gospel. Folks, I'm convinced that the fields of Brazil are waiting to harvest. And I can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do there. Obviously, when the socialist government comes in, first thing they do is they take away all the guns and the crime rate skyrockets. As a matter of fact, this is a picture in Rio. the police cannot go up against the drug lords, only the military can. But, you know, the root of the problem is not drugs. It's not socialist government. The root of the problem is these are lost people and they need Christ. Here in this picture, you see, that's the state in which we're going. The state of Mato Grosso alone is bigger than Texas. So that kind of gives you a perspective. And you see that little horn on the top there. We will be southeast of that. That's the town. That's where Alta Floresta is located. On the south part of the state is much like the Everglades. How many of you have ever been to Florida? Yeah, quite a bit of us. Reminds me a lot of Florida. Water everywhere. It's the world's largest ecological reserve. So there's a lot of wildlife and so forth. But as you work your way north, you'll find more farming ground, not as much water, still a lot of water because it's tropical rainforest. But you start going a little more to farms and then eventually to the Amazon jungle. This is called the Pantanal. It was kind of around this area that I grew up. It's a lot of marshlands, alligators, a lot of wild animals. But then as you go north, you can see the just jungle. Although in those jungle, there still is groups, people groups. The Brazilian government claims that west of where we're going in Brazil, there's still, was it 9 or 12 totally unreached Indian tribes that have yet to come in contact with the modern man. But don't think that we're going to live in a hut. We're going to, you know, be in the middle of nowhere. There's still towns that are developed, towns that are growing, and our plan is to reach the towns. The Indians come to the town, we'll win the Indians to Christ, and they can go back to their villages and Indian tribes and share Christ there. But even in the jungle, you'll be driving down, or driving. If you were to get down the river in a boat, you'll see little villages of people that are in reach with the gospel. Brazil is a very diverse, but yet very tropical. Where we will be going is right close to the equator line, so we get a lot of fresh fruits. The food in Brazil, now remember, be doing mental notes so you can ask questions when we're done. I like interaction. The food in the place where we're going is really, really yummy. Basically, you get the European cuisine, you get the African cuisine, and then you get the native Brazilian Indian cuisine, and then you combine those three together, and you have an explosion of flavor in your mouth. They don't eat very spicy, but very, very flavorful. As you can see, that's the typical Brazilian ladies in the area in which we're going, they will spend 3-4 hours in the kitchen cooking. That's just what they do. As a result, that comes out in the flavors. Not spicy, but very flavorful. I think I'm out of sync. No. One of the main agriculture, or one of the main things that our state is known for is cowboys. Imagine that. They use hats and boots and everything. And a lot of the German descent would be cowboys or farmers. So, needless to say, there's a lot of cattle. So, if you want more cows, you can have more cattle. And then if you're going to have a different farm, you can have more cattle. Like, needless to say, there's a lot of cattle in Brazil. They export worldwide. So that's one of the main agriculture thing. Another thing, when I say farms, this is what I'm referring to. It's not just a farmer that has a few bacon pieces that's still alive. And that's the extent. It's thousands and thousands of acres of plantation. Just a lot of farming. I shared this morning. This is a sight that I saw when we took our survey trip, and it just smote my heart to see these fields that were literally white unto harvest. And then thinking of these towns totally unreached. Just wondering how many people in these towns, their lives would be changed if somebody went to them and preached. If somebody shared with them Christ. As I mentioned, they're religious, but they're lost. Rather they're JWs, or rather they're Mormon, or rather they're Pentecostal, or rather they're Catholics. Ultimately, they're trying to get to heaven based on what they do. You see, the Bible tells us that salvation is by faith through grace. Nothing that we do is going to get us to heaven. But these people are lost. They need Christ. So the picture, this would be these kids. You can kind of see the gene in them. They'd be more of an Indian, more of the native Indian, Brazilian. But one thing about Brazil, if you start a Bible class, a Bible school, these kids will come. One thing I loved about Brazil is, come afternoon growing up in Brazil as a little boy, the sun, when it was about 4 o'clock, the sun would start to go down. If you had a soccer ball, you'd get your ball out and go kick it in the street. In a matter of minutes, you'd have 8, 9, 10, 20 kids. You'd be playing soccer in the streets. And you'd use rocks as the goal. And, you talk about fun. But folks, there's ways to reach them. They're lost. If we can reach these children, we can mentor them and train them to become the next leaders, to become the next missionaries and pastors. The Brazilian people are extremely friendly. This was in our survey trip. We took this picture. But so open. So friendly. But lost. We cannot wait to share the gospel with them. Remember these particular people that I spoke to them about salvation and gave them a gospel tract. And they listen. They need Christ. We need to take the light of the gospel to them. I mentioned this morning, that tombstone that really just screamed the hopelessness of these people. Hopeless. They have no hope. And folks, we have hope. We must take them. We must take them, the gospel. We must bring them to Christ. This would be more of a little more civilized Indian tribe. Again, lost. Hopeless. They're trying to get to heaven, but based on what they do and not on what Christ did. We need your prayers. We covet your prayers. Would you pray as we reach them? With that said, I would love to reach the Indian tribes, but our focus will be on the towns, and the Indians come to the town to get supplies and so forth. And I'd love to reach some of them for Christ. With that said, are there any questions about our ministry, about Brazil? If one person asks one question, it makes it easier for the next person to ask. Oh yeah, I was going to ask this question. So who will be first? Yes, sir. Yes, in Brazil we do live longer. Yes, the Brazilians are not time-oriented, so Pastor said, just take as long as you want. So, no, kidding. as a matter of fact, for example, you will not, very rarely would you ever find a job that is by hour. You get paid a salary, whether you work 80 hours, whether you work 40 hours, you're going to get that salary. Which means Brazilians usually a hard worker, but they just don't have that urgency that, time. You know, on church, if you're going to have church at 7, you're really going to get started around 7:30 or so. On the bigger towns, it's a different culture. It's more of an American Western mentality where, you know, they're a little more time conscious. But these towns, you're going to sit down. You're going to just not be so stressed. So, yeah, great question. Yes, any other question? Yes, sir. How big is the town? The town in which we're going is about 40 years old, and it's about 50,000 people, and they're growing. I just looked Friday on Google Maps, and since we've been there in 2 years, there's like 4 or 5 different suburbs that are being cut out. I mean, it's just booming. The town south of us last year grew 21% in 1 year. So, folks, these towns are booming. They need Christ. We need to get there and take them the gospel before it's too late. Great question. Yep. Yes, sir. So he asked where they're coming from. Well, some immigration, others it's jobs. You know, some of them are even coming from big cities because these towns are agricultural towns. So if you're a tractor mechanic, a diesel mechanic, you're going to make money. If you're an airplane mechanic, you're going to make money in the crop dusters. If you fly a drone, you're going to get good money flying the drones, checking the crop and so forth. So it's a lot of money that these farmers have. You know, when they plant, it's millions worth of planting. So that's where this is coming from. And it's really, this is what moved these towns to grow and develop. Great question. Yes, ma'am.
Would it be considered a warm culture where you have opportunity to, that people will actually like invite you into their homes?
Oh, absolutely. You see, in Brazil, when we get there, the way to reach people is through relationship. It's, I'm going to have you, hey, I've seen you at the store a couple times. Hey, I'm so-and-so. Do you want to come over to my house for an American meal? Oh, they'll be there. Next thing, you swing by their house, you don't call, you just show up. Oh, they'll invite you in for coffee. You can sit down and talk to them. They're very open and very friendly. So we can't wait to use that as a means to reach to them. So great question. I saw another hand somewhere. Yes, sir. Who?
Swaggered.
No, sir, I have not. But no, I have not.
Yeah, they ship them in by millions.
Wow.
Truckers, they ship them across the ships into each country.
Uh-huh.
And I understand Brazil got millions or something like that.
Wow. Yeah. No, sir. Yeah, part of it is people usually ask, so when you go to Brazil, are you going to ship a container? No, we're not. Here's why. The closest sea to where we will be, it's either 1,900 miles to the east or 1,900 miles to the west. So imagine trying to bring whatever you call a container 1,900 miles to where we are through the roads. It's not going to work too well. But good question. I saw a hand over here.
What ministries were you involved in your local church there in North Carolina? And you and your wife?
Yes. So we were involved in children's church. We did that for a year. We did all the children's church, and that was a great time. Also soul winning. Every Saturday we have a soul winning in our church. We go out and we try to reach people with the gospel. Special music, we've worked with that too, whether it's choir and so forth. We also did a nursing home ministries. We had two nursing homes that we would do the whole service. And we'd, you know, use that as an opportunity to get experience in preaching. And if you can preach at a nursing home, you can preach anywhere. So, but those were some ministry we've been involved in. And it's been great. Back in Brazil, I used to teach a teen class. So, good question. Yes, sir.
Jed, can you explain a little bit more about how aviation will help you to reach all these other people?
Yes. So, the beginning of this year, the Lord started. It's funny because as a little boy, I always had a dream of becoming a missionary pilot. And actually, my great-great uncle was Jimmy Doolittle from World War II, the Doolittle Raids. But it wasn't until about a year, the beginning of this year, the Lord really started working in my heart about working and getting my pilot license. I would come to churches just like this and talk about 140 towns that are totally unreached. But then I started to think, what is the reality of me being able to reach these towns? I looked at a town, there's a town I really, really would love to see a church started there. And If the Lord tarries, we will start a church there. It's the town of Colonisa, about 60,000 people. As the crow flies, it's about 210 miles from Alta Floresta, the town in which we're going. If you were to drive that, according to Google, it would take you 18 hours to get there. And if it's rainy season, you're just not going to get there. But one thing I noticed, that every single one of these towns, they had a government-issued airstrip. Some of them were gravel, some of them were paved. And the Lord started working on my heart to get my pilot license. And He used Jabez's prayer. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. But Jabez asked the Lord, said, "Lord, I pray that You would bless me indeed and that Thou would enlarge my coast." And I started praying and said, "Lord, would You enlarge our ministry? And should the Lord continue to open that door once I get my pilot license and once we have an airplane? This won't be our first plan, is to plant and establish a church in Alta Floresta. But down the road, should we have an airplane, that would really enable us to do more of a circuit riding ministry. And we can go in a town, we can get a couple young people, and we can go to a town, and we can hold the Saturday children's class. We can go soul winning at that town. Once a family gets saved, we start discipling them. We get one of our preacher boys and say, okay, so I'm going to disciple this family, and he's watching us disciple this family. Next thing you know, that family's neighbors get saved. And that's where it's time. Hey, let's start holding services there on Tuesday nights. So we fly there, we hold a service on Tuesday night, we have that preacher boy preach. And when we feel that that young man is mature spiritually and he's in a place where he can take that church over, we can turn that ministry over to him. So basically, this would really enable us, rather than spending half our ministry driving on dirt roads and getting stuck in mud holes, because it's the Amazon jungle or tropical, so we get a lot of rain, we can fly to these towns and reach them that way. Some of these towns, it's just hard to get to because of the roads. It's not like here, you just get an I-81 or 85 or 77 and put it in cruise control and you're there in no time. It's not like that down there. So that would really enable us to really branch out to more than just the few towns within driving distance from Alta Floresta. You see, because, you know, when Christ, in Christ's ministry, you see, and Christ went from city to city and village to village preaching the gospel. If you look at Paul's ministry, he went from town to town preaching the gospel. I'm convinced that if we did that, I think the Lord would bless that. And because He will build His church. And so we're excited to see how the Lord's going to use that in spreading the gospel even farther. Yes, sir?
How is the healthcare in Brazil?
So he asked, how is the healthcare? Well, obviously under the socialist government, medicine was socialized. If you have money, you're all right. There's some really good doctors. If you don't have money, you don't want to go to the, unless it's something minor, but anything major, you don't want to go to the government-issued hospitals. So there are good hospitals, but they're private. So if you have money, you're okay. If you don't, you're not. But as far as a broken arm or a broken finger or anything, that's okay. So, but if you're going to have an open heart surgery, you want to go down to São Paulo where there's a private hospital. So, yep, good question. I saw a hand. Yes, sir.
Family structure, it's a pretty immoral country. When it comes to reaching the family, are you reaching a broken family or just a family that was started but there's like no marriage involved?
What you see a lot, and it's interesting because where I grew up, you know, there are no, I mean, it's broken families. That's why you had to really reach the young people to kind of bring up a generation that, you know, you that the Lord could use in the ministry. But our town in which we're going, surprisingly, is a lot more family-oriented. They're not married a lot of times, but they live together and they have kids and so forth. But it is a lot more family-structured, which is kind of, it was shocking for my wife and I, which, again, maybe that's why the Lord had us go to this town of Alta Floresta. But of course, you got to teach them. You know, you got to teach them what the Bible says about marriage. You got to teach them about divorce and so forth. But it is a little more family oriented, which probably would mean it would be a little harder to reach a family. But once you do, you know, it'll be easier to reach the family members and branch out from there. So, good question. Yes, sir. Yes, a lot of times people think that in Brazil we speak Spanish, but no, in Brazil we speak Portuguese. So all of Brazil is under the Portuguese language. Some of the tribes would still obviously speak their language, but the younger Indians a lot of times would speak Portuguese also, or no Portuguese. So good question. I saw another hand somewhere here. Great questions, by the way. Yes, sir. Well, part of it was I wasn't completely surrendered to God. Another part of it was, to be honest, I knew of missionaries who were in Brazil, but they weren't missionaries. They were just holding services twice a week and raising support for that. And so I was kind of burned out and saying, I don't want anything to do with that. But it wasn't until the Lord started working in my heart that He convicted me and said, you know, Jed, you focus on you being faithful. You know, Peter was all worried of, Lord, who's going to betray you? There in, I think it's Matthew. And the Lord said, Peter, what is that to thee? You follow me. So it was just a matter of surrender. I needed to obey the Lord and follow His leading for my life. And, you know, it just makes sense, you know, because of knowing the culture and the language, we can pretty much jump right in once we get to the field. So we're excited to go down. There's some great missionaries in Brazil. A lot of them are doing a good job. But there's a few, you know, just like in any aspect of life, there's great employees, there's some not so great employees. So did that answer your question? So, yep, good. Yes, sir. There are private schools, but again, because of the morality, we are not going to put our daughter in a, whether it's private school or not, we're not going to put her, so we probably will homeschool her. We can get away with that because we're Americans. So that'll help out. And as long as we can prove that she's enrolled in such and such school here in the States, they're okay with that. I was homeschooled all my life. That's why I'm like this. No, I'm kidding. But you asked about witchcraft. It's here in the States, the media makes, I mean, you see these demonic movies. We're just used to it. In Brazil, it's a lot more real. When you're talking about Satan and demons, it's real. I mean, I've seen demon-possessed people. I've been around demon-possessed people. You know, it's a real spiritual battle. It's a real battlefield. But, you know, what can I say? They need Christ. You know, in the Catholic Church, there's a huge connection between the witchcraft and the Catholicism. A lot of times when you find a strong Catholic city, you'll find, huge demonic oppression. I've seen that too, you know, demonic oppression. And one time in Brazil, in front of our parish church, it's not funny, but it is, but there was this witch, and she was doing witchcraft in front of our church because of our church. And she made this big circle with gunpowder. And she gets down really close to it with a match. She gets down to her knees, and she lit that thing. And, man, that smoke just, you could just see her eyes. The gunpowder smoke just covered her face. But it's a real deal. You know, it's a real spiritual battle. And they need Christ. I remember in our survey trip, we stopped by this little waterfall from a mountain there. And my wife asked me, honey, there's a whole bunch of Dow heads in the water. Did a truck of Dows maybe crashed and these Dow heads end up here? But in each doll head, there was a name of somebody. It was witchcraft, you know. Spiritual darkness in high places. They need Christ. They need the gospel. We must go and reach them. Great question. Any other question? Yes, ma'am. The town in which we're going, I occasionally, you know, follow the news there, is really not violent at all. It's interesting when people have to work, and they have a work schedule, and they have to sleep because they got to be at work early, there's not much time to be, you know, out and about. So the town in which we're going, and these other towns, they're not usually as violent, but if you go down to the bigger cities, you know, you'll be held at gunpoint, you know. The city I grew up in was extremely violent. But the town in which we're going is not as violent because it's more of a working community. The government is actually in the Senate right now. They're considering allowing concealed carry again in the country, and that is, like, huge. So that could be a precaution we might take. But ultimately, the safest place is in the center of God's will. And I don't say that tongue in cheek. When my grandpa went to that fishing village of St. Anthony, he faced opposition. The teachers who were in charge of the public schools were all nuns, so they would give the students better grades if they threw cow dung at the people going to church. So there will be opposition. You know, my grandpa was many times threatened to be killed. But God's called us there. That's all there's to it. He will keep us. I'd rather be in a violent place in Brazil and stand for God's will than in the comforts of the American dream outside of His will. So, I saw a hand up here. Yes, sir. A lot of times, yes. You know, a lot of times they're in their mind, you know, they're like, well, yeah, I'm trying to be saved. But when you really show from the Bible, it's like, wow. So you mean that I can actually know that I'm saved? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. So Brazilian people, they want to please you. You know, if you invite them to church, oh, yeah. What time? 9? I'll be there. It comes 9, you know. So they're open. But again, if you need to get saved, you're not going to be too effective. But if you're out and you're, let's say, you're playing soccer with them and you hurt yourself and you don't cuss and you really show Christ, they're like, wow, this guy is really different. So the Brazilian culture, because they are friendly, the way to reach them is through building relationships and then giving them the gospel. And we have many avenues that we want to use in doing that. One thing that for high school kids from the States, they can come down and we can teach children from age 7 to 12 free English class. But the Bible is our textbook. And we can reach them through that and share the gospel and win them to Christ. There are times where, you know, the way to witness is, do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, and just upfront confrontation. But in general, they're open. A lot of times it does take a while because they've been so long immersed, you know, in false religion. But the gospel works. And it is still the power of God to salvation. If I didn't believe that, I'd stick to my job in North Carolina. So, yes, sir. Like, would you be referring to, like, having a cross? I wouldn't think so, because we're going to teach them the truth. You know, a lot of times, as you saw in the video, There'll be a cross, but there's a fake Jesus still on it. Our cross, there's no Jesus because he's alive. And may I challenge you, Easter's coming next Sunday. Ask God to give you somebody to bring to church. Because people are open around Easter time to come to church. And it'd be amazing to hear that there'd been people who came to church and got saved this Easter here at this church. So, great questions. Any other question? I thought I saw a hand somewhere here. There's been great questions tonight. We've really enjoyed it. I did not have time to preach, but pray for us. We covet your prayers. We really, really need your prayer. May I challenge you with something? Keep in touch with your missionaries. It's lonely. I've been there. Just picture, if you had to go to Saudi Arabia, people there are just different. They're not excited. It's not like they're going to be, oh, wow, you came to share the gospel. Thank you so much. No, they don't want you there. And it's just you and your family. Encourage your missionaries. Pray for them. Keep in touch with them. We live and got technology. Text them. Email them. Call them. Be an encouragement to your missionaries. But I close with this. Swing by a table. Grab a prayer card. Sign up to our updates. We covet your prayers. And also, really pray about coming and visiting us. That way you can see firsthand the power of the gospel. So, thank y'all so much. And we really, really enjoyed being here. So, Pastor.